Welcome to episode 126 of the British Birddown Breakdown. And yes, it finally happened. We have a defeat to talk about. The Arizona Cardinals are 7-1 after week 8, and sure, it's still better than what anyone thought they would be at this point of the season, but you know, what might have been. Not that we can change anything on this podcast though, but what we can do is break down the Cardinals game and everything else going wrong. Or anyway, you know, this intro is far too long. I should probably do what AJ Green didn't and actually turn around to face my microphone. I'm Tom, and that's Callum. So let's start the show.
I'm so glad I didn't read ahead this week. I wasn't expecting that, but well, that brightened up my day on a day that we have to talk about a defeat. 7-1, as you said, Tom. What a week! What could have been? What we could have had out of it? But you know. Who's to lament, as you said, like so much better than I think anyone thought we'd be at this point. Getting close to sealing that winning season at least as well. And, you know, a game where ultimately we lost to a team that was better than us on the night, you know, rather than losing in a game to a team that we were clearly better than.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of those games where, you know, I suppose we probably shouldn't. Like, obviously, go too far ahead because we have actually got some news before, you know, we start to get into the nitty-gritty of what went wrong in the game. I should save that for a bit later.
Absolutely. We've got a fair bit of news, including big injury news to start off.
I know, what's it like, you know, the Arizona Cardinals and big injuries hitting?
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Tom got some buttons that play sounds, and he's dead chuffed with them, so I suspect that we're going to see a few more of those.
Yeah, but obviously the main news story we've got this weekend is the J.J. Watt injury that he suffered last week against the Houston Texans.
It seems to be a lot worse than anyone really thought it was. In typical J.J. Watt fashion, he played through the injury and has a torn pectoral or something like that?
To be honest, I think it's easier to say what isn't torn in it than what is torn.
That is fair. This is one of those things. I think it's really tricky because obviously it's something that J.J. Watt was known for before he came to the Cardinals. And the question is you know, how much is this something that was just expected versus something that, you know, is still a surprise?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things, like, people will call it, like, obviously, J.J. Watt's injury prone. We should have never signed him. But, you know, when we did sign him, people were happy, you know, making a move, sign, like, one of the best players in NFL history, maybe. So it's like... It was such a nothing play as well, where he got injured on. It's just unfortunate.
It really was, yeah. And, you know, as far as people saying, you know, like, oh, we shouldn't have signed him and all that... I don't think that we're 7-1 without J.J. Watt in there, you know, so far.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he only had the one sack on the season so far, but, you know, it was a lot more than that, you know, he was bringing to the team. It was leadership on the sidelines. It was taking up blockers, you know, he was getting pressures on quarterbacks. He just wasn't getting them down, was he?
Yeah, lots of play at the right line of scrimmage, as we talked about for a few weeks there. But, unfortunately... His tenure for this year at least has come to an end, and you know, there's still some chatter that he might be back after what, 3 months of recovery. There's some chatter that there might be a second opinion sought as well on his recovery time, etc. But I think you could sort of say fundamentally we expect him to be out for at least the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you say it could be a 3 month break, but you know, if it is 3 months, you know, that's some sort of medical miracle, isn't it? You know, considering the injury, what he suffered.
Yeah, absolutely. These are, you know, the kinds of injuries you don't want to, like, I would say that you would maybe consider bringing him back. You know, if you're the Cardinals, you would maybe consider bringing him back if he was either going to, you know, definitely retire at the end of the season, or if you were going to play in the Super Bowl and you just needed as much, you know, star power as you could get.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the 3 month sort of time frame would lead up right to the start of the playoffs. So, you know, if there is a chance he is ready for the playoffs, you know, I'm sure nobody would complain, would they? You know, having him back on the defensive line.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is there's like, are you going to be able to stop JJ Watt at that point?
Be a bit like DeAndre Hopkins this past week, wouldn't it? You know, if he's ready, if he wants to play, he'll be running onto the field just to line up, even if he's not supposed to.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, who's gonna like hold him back from getting on the field? That's a tricky job.
I mean, I wouldn't fancy the job, and I don't think any of the coaches would. You know, if JJ Watt wants to play, you know, let him play.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think. You know, ultimately, it's pretty heartbreaking loss, I think, for the Cardinals. It's, you know, it's a name that we've brought up, I think, pretty much every week as someone who's made an impact at some time or other during one of those plays.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those players as well. Like, there's been people comparing his injury to that which Baker Mayfield's currently carrying, but, like, I think it's a bit different, isn't it, comparing what Baker Mayfield does to what J.J. Watt does, because, you know, defensive linemen, every single play there on the ground, aren't they? They have to get at least some support from the shoulder to like hold themselves up in their stance. With a quarterback, I mean, it's obviously difficult. Definitely.
And you know, it's two different types of pressure as well. You know, with the quarterback, you know, throwing a ball like that, you know, that's one sort of single momentary action. Versus defensive lineman is basically wrestling, so it's, you know, it's continued aggravation the whole way through the play. And if you're a defensive lineman like JJ Watt as well, it's not like you get a play off. You know, if you're Baker Mayfield, you can hand the ball off and you don't have to throw it that play. If you're JJ Watt, you can't just, you know, not play the offensive line in a play, you know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have got quite a bit of depth on the defensive line, but nobody is really going to be able to replace JJ Watt or the, no matter how much you try.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is going to be a big challenge there for Vance Joseph, right? Because it's such a key and different piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, and also we've already seen already from the Thursday night game that we're going to go on to talk about shortly, you know, we did look a little bit short-handed on the defensive line, and look what happened there.
Yeah, I think ultimately, you know, as well, like if you think about when the news about this was breaking, the news about like the severity of Watt's shoulder injury and stuff was coming out Monday, Tuesday, and all of that stuff. And, you know, by the time it was really confirmed, it was pretty much Wednesday here in the UK, at least. So that doesn't leave a lot of time for Vance Joseph to be able to, you know, rebuild a plan without JJ Watt. Like, I'm sure they had backup plans and things before, but, you know, obviously you plan specifically for opponents, and with it being such a short week, that's such a difficult absence to work around.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we'll have to see how they cope going forward, but, you know, obviously it's going to need guys like Jordan Phillips, Corey Peters, Zach Allen, Lecky Fotu, Josh Morrow from St. Albans. You know, you need them to step up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, as you said, you need those guys to step up and you know, bring more pressure the same way that JJ Watt does. And you're probably going to need to change your scheme a little bit. And actually, I wouldn't be surprised because of that if we saw a bit of a change in the character of the Cardinals defense. And, you know, something we'll get onto in the game recap a little bit is, you know, the run defense has been poor so far this year, whereas the pass defense has been really good. And you know, we saw that kind of slot even more into that against Green Bay there.
Yeah, should we move on to something a bit more positive though from the news front?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so at long last, it seems to be that the COVID list is empty. And Corey Peters was the final body on the COVID list, but he's no longer on it, which makes the list as empty as my Tinder matches.
yeah, that's definitely good news. And hopefully, you know, this experience has kind of confirmed to the Cardinals, or at least, you know, help them, you know, show the players like how serious it can be. You know, the fact that this kind of spreads around the practice and training facility as quickly as it does, and it can leave them without, you know, key figures, like, you know, even without Cliff Kingsbury on the sideline, for example, or Chandler Jones on the defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you don't want to see any more people go on the COVID list, but, you know, the team has coped well without them, it seems. So it's definitely not something you would see happen, obviously, but if it does happen, you know, at least they've got to be prepared for it.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think overall it's a it was well coped with. But the hope is that, you know, from that, there's been lessons learned. There's been more understanding, you know, among the players, among the staff, of just how serious, if you like, the whole thing is.
And of course, one more news item before we move on, and that is the fact that today is NFL trade deadline day.
Yeah, it is. And we're actually recording even earlier than usual, so it's got an even higher chance that we're going to miss some sort of big news just as we're recording. So I'm sure we'll have to do some extra checking towards the end of the podcast in case there's any big news.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing at the moment, you know, to do with the Cardinals, even though we did have the big news last night that Von Miller's going to the LA Rams. Sadly, not the Cardinals, but, you know.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I kind of wish that he'd done that, you know, after we'd played them twice, but at least we got one game out of the way.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things, isn't it? You know, if there's any Arizona Cardinals news, you know where to find it on the internet, because, you know, we'll be late with it as always.
I mean, on the plus side, it seems as though the Rams kind of put the house on this one a little bit, because I think they gave up a 2022 second and third round pick for it.
Yeah, so literally looking at their draft board for next year, I think they've got a fifth round pick and maybe a seventh round pick, maybe a consolation pick somewhere as well along the lines. But yeah, there's literally nothing for them to do on draft night.
I mean, I saw people making jokes about, you know, the Rams drafted Jared Goff and they just decided, like, nah, we don't need to draft anyone ever again. We're just going to, you know, bring in talent.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea, but, you know, how long is that sustainable for? Yeah.
Well, I think especially, you know, the Rams aren't they,
without the Cardinals.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, ultimately, it's a question of how many good playing years Von Miller has left, because he's, what, like an 8-time Pro Bowler or something like that? He's been around for a while.
I think he's only under contract for this year as well, isn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
So they've basically just given up those picks for another chip to go all in for this year.
And, you know, it makes sense. In some ways, you could compare it to what the Cardinals are doing, but luckily they haven't made such a drastic move yet. But you never know. Maybe we'll be staring down the barrel of a big trade, you know, tomorrow morning or something when we all wake up.
Yeah, but before we do, we've got the previous game to recap, and for once it's an Arizona Cardinals defeat that we have to mull over.
Yeah, first time in 2021 we're seeing a Cardinals loss, and it is indeed Cardinals 21, Packers 24, a game of what could have been, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those really weird ones, you know. It was just one of those games that didn't really reflect the statistical domination of Green Bay at all.
Yeah, I mean, I see that you've written down here time of possession, which is like, it's one that I don't necessarily agree with, but Green Bay had the ball for 37 minutes and 35 seconds of the game, whereas the Cardinals only had it for 22 minutes and 25 seconds. And I think that's, you know, in large part down to the fact that we kind of forced them to run the ball and stuff like that, so the clock was, you know, ticking a lot more. You know, because of that, Green Bay was basically just able to get off so many more plays. They got 72 plays versus 55 for Arizona. And ultimately, you know, they just ended up with way more chances at the red zone than Arizona did.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those weird ones, you know, like any time the Cardinals could get them off the field, they just weren't able to. I mean, There was the occasional fourth down conversion, what they had to go for, where they were 2-4 on them.
Yeah.
You know, that's still obviously two more for the collection that Vance Joseph's defense is currently collecting at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was a tricky one, I think, for the defense because, yeah, as you said, they were really struggling to get them off the field and get them to those third down outs or hold them to field goals or whatever. And I think, you know, ultimately it's because they were just able to run the ball so well. And as you know, they were able to run the ball and pick up, you know, 3-4 yards per carry. And then it didn't matter that Rodgers wasn't throwing well or he didn't have his prime receivers or whatever, because it just meant that, you know, every time they were in a short yardage situation, they were able to just get a run off and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona were able to keep it close. So, you know, that has to be a good thing in the grand scheme of things, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to agree, that's for sure. And let's not forget, you know, despite the negative that it is, we did have the chance to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's one of those things the Cardinals seem to do pretty well, you know, like even in games where they look a bit lost, you know, as long as you keep it close, it's just one of those things where, like, you just need the offense to put together, like, a couple of good scoring drives of their own. And then, you know, they're well in the game, aren't they? They might even go on to win the game.
I think ultimately as well, you know, if you look at it in a different context, you say, like, if that final pass doesn't get picked off in the end zone, then you kick a field goal and you go to extra time, and then who knows what happens as well.
I mean, Green Bay overtime in Arizona, you know, I'm sure we've seen that many times before, haven't we?
Yeah, but we've also seen Rodgers throw Hail Marys quite a few times, and we actually defended this one reasonably well compared to the one that we gave up in Cleveland earlier in the year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not something you want to see happen, but it's Aaron Rodgers, you know, that's the sort of stuff he does
it's pretty much something he's going to do, yeah. But no, I think you're right. The Cardinals managed to keep it close. There were some really good defensive plays. I do think in some ways that we were unlucky to miss out on some scoring opportunities. Obviously, I've mentioned there the interception, right? At the time when we could have at least tied it up. But, you know, there was a few times I feel that we were just, you know, getting some silly interceptions or some silly turnovers, or even some silly, you know, three and outs in certain situations when you can't help but feel that if the offense had a bit more rhythm, those wouldn't have happened and we would have got a couple more points and been comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals were able to go 100% on fourth down, converting both of their attempts at fourth down conversions. And they weren't short ones either, were they? They were pretty long.
No, they were good ones. And I think, you know, these are kind of almost Kyler Murray speciality plays, aren't they? Because it's really got that factor that we like to talk about with the Cardinals, where Kyler could go one way or another, or he could pass it, he could run it. There's, you know, just such a wide array of threats that it's hard to cover all of those, especially in a sort of fourth down situation, which is, you know, it's harder to judge where somebody's going to go for.
Yeah, I think obviously the main thing from the game was the fact that Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon were just pretty much dominant throughout the whole game, weren't they? And obviously frustrating for the Cardinals to face.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think especially you're talking about Dillon. You know, every time they were tackled, they seemed to just stay up. They managed to always be picking up extra yards even when they were tackled. You know, it was just really tricky to deal with.
Yeah, they just seemed to bounce off the tackles or they fall forward for even more yardage, no matter how many people tried to gang tackle them. It was just crazy. I mean, I don't think it wasn't necessarily like bad tackling on the Cardinals' part. It's just the fact they're two really strong running backs, aren't they? And they're obviously going to win battles sometimes, aren't they? Is that always going to be the Cardinals winning them?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, it's like there was a lot of situations where you would see, you know, the Green Bay offensive line like collapse, you would see just this big mass of bodies in the middle of the field there. And then somehow out of all of it, there would be a Green Bay running back emerging for an extra 3-4 yards before being tackled. And it was just like, this is the story of the night. And, you know, I think that's ultimately where Green Bay's time of possession all comes from as well.
I'm sure people are going to be concerned about all these sirens that keep hearing in the background as well.
I thought it would be okay, but apparently not. I'm going to need to figure out a better solution for next week, I think.
Someone's living in the hood these days, aren't they?
I've just moved house, so and I'm between a police station and a fire station, and there's two hospitals within a mile either side as well, so it's busy.
I'll play this sound effect then. It makes it sound right.
Well, actually, speaking of sirens, I was going to make a bit of a joke about that, but ultimately, I don't think you can. Let's have a chat about that kickoff play that ended in just horrendous injuries.
Yeah, the sickening collision between Green Bay's Kylan Hill and Jonathan Ward of the Cardinals. I think it was on one of the punt returns, wasn't it? Not a kick return.
Yeah, you're right. It was a punt return.
Or was it? No, it wasn't. It was actually a kick return. I remember now.
You sure?
Was like, yeah, it was pretty short. It was like a very short field. He obviously brought the ball out of the end zone.
Yeah.
And then there's that sickening collision between the two of them.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone concerned on the field, in the stands, watching the game. It was just horrific, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you know it's especially bad when the entire medical team is out on the field. There's a whole load of discourse about, you know, just getting rid of kick returns and things like that altogether from football, and I think that, you know, when you see these collisions, this is the reason why.
I mean, yeah, this is pretty much exhibit A, you know, towards all those people thinking they should outlaw these sort of returns.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously really tricky one to hear about. But not too much been released about Ward's health. We know that he's got feeling in all extremities, which, you know, hopefully means there's no spinal cord damage or whatever. Really, really just horrible, horrible collision, and you know, wishing the best to all involved.
It's one of those things as well, like during the game, they announced it as a concussion. It's like, yeah, I think it was pretty much more than a concussion, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Do you know anything? Did you hear anything more about Kylan Hill?
I think he did his ACL, you know, all those sort of ligaments, you know?
Yeah.
So he's out for the season, and who knows how much longer.
But no, just looked horrible and definitely a mar on the game. I would say that you'd have to say, you know, like it's one thing having injuries, but you know, when you've got injuries that people walk off from, it's like, okay, sure, whatever, you know, it's fine. That's just football. But then you get injuries, obviously, where people get carted off, which is obviously worse. And then you get injuries where it's not a good look on the sport, I don't think, at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things. Obviously, a really nasty coming together of two human beings with a ridiculous amount of force behind the pair of them.
Yeah, definitely. As I said, sir, here's hoping that, you know, everyone does eventually make a full recovery at least.
Yeah, I mean, there's been nothing in the news for like the past probably 72 hours looking on Twitter. I've not seen anything more recent than that. So
I suppose
we'll just have to wait and see, won't we?
Yeah, when it comes to these things, I guess, you know, if you're pretty much committed, like, okay, well, we're out for the season or whatever anyway, then you know, you might as well hold on and just sort of like wait and see and get a more full picture before you release it to the media or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we wish them both well in their recoveries. You know, if we see them again playing football, we'll be glad.
Yeah, definitely. In other news, when we sort of talk about our actual offense, because we talked a lot about our defense today and we talked a lot about special teams so far, but not so much about the specifics of the offense. And notable kind of almost by absence would be DeAndre Hopkins, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty quiet day from him, obviously from his usual standards, but I think that was mainly down to the hamstring niggle that he's currently nursing.
Yeah, do you know if he was on lower snap counts or if it was like more of a package-based thing?
I think he was just keeping him off the field, but did you not hear like the comments from Cliff Kingsbury regarding that after the game? Where
was
saying,
this the stuff about they were like, we're trying to keep him off the field, but he was just walking on or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much. He was just like walking onto the field, you know, taking his spot on the lineup. And it's like, yeah, I don't think you should be doing that, DeAndre, but, you know, if it's up to him, he'll play, won't he?
Yeah, definitely. My hope is that obviously, you know, he doesn't aggravate that niggle that we were talking about there, but I it's good to see the spirit, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he could have had a huge touchdown on pretty much one of the first plays of the game as well, couldn't he? Had it not been the face mask call, which chalked it off the score.
Yeah, I mean, I think still regardless of the outcome, an excellent play.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great route run from him, wasn't it? You know, like he's just stopped, like he ran like full speed, stopped, and then it made it the quarterback think, you know, it's got to be like a curl route or something. And then, like, obviously the cornerback bites on that. And then DeAndre Hopkins just runs past him down the other side.
Yeah, and then there's just enough separation. Yeah.
Just a shame he had his hand a bit too high and it was like called a face mask, even though he didn't really grab any of it.
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one to overturn, that one, you know. But no, I think... yeah, it's as we said, like not exactly a bad day for him, but obviously not everything as great as it could be.
Yeah, I mean, as well, you know, with the injury to JJ Watt, it's like, you know, I don't think the Cardinals could really, like, the Cardinals do have a pretty deep wide receiver room, but it's like, if JJ Hopkins is out, you know, that's a pretty big loss to try and make up for, isn't it? You know, with guys like AJ Green, you know, it might mean more snaps for guys like Antoine Wesley. Andy Isabella might not get traded today. So, you know, he might
fold. I think you could almost sort of say, like, if Isabella heads off, then you could probably say, like, that's confirmation that they think Hopkins is going to be fine, you know?
Yeah, if not, you know, it's just the case of getting some guy off the streets or the practice squad.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think obviously, you know, if it was AJ Green, for example, that was injured, you could maybe say, okay, you know, that's like he's wide receiver too, for sure, but maybe that's a bit more survivable. But obviously, if Hopkins goes out, then that's... you know, you can't really see AJ Green in you know, wide receiver one position.
I mean, he has been pretty much wide receiver one since he's been brought into the league, hasn't he? You know, like in Cincinnati, he was wide receiver one for like years and years. So he's capable of doing it. It's just like, do you want to rely on him as a wide receiver one? I think he still is, to be honest. Obviously, he's shown this year that he's, you know, he's still got plenty left in the tank for the Cardinals. So, you know, if he has to step up and do a bit more, or, you know, obviously maybe they can just spread those targets around with, like, guys he haven't really been using so far. You know, like we say, Antoine Wesley, Andy Isabella might get a look in, you know. It's definitely, we're able to cope without Hopkins. It's just going to be a bit more difficult without Hopkins.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't think it's a season ender if we lose Hopkins. I think it's just you know, obviously he's going to be the hardest one to replace because he's naturally fitting that wide receiver one position at the moment.
I mean, before we move on to another wide receiver, it's just, you know, a game to forget for Rondale Moore in this one.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously had a muffed punt return, which pretty much gifted Green Bay, almost gifted them a touchdown. You know, it's like giving them beautiful field possession and everything like that.
Yeah, it just didn't seem to go well for Rondale, you know, throughout the whole game. You know, not only did he run into his blocker on what might have been a massive return to jumpstart the offense, but then he had obviously the fumbled punt return where his fingers grazed the ball and Green Bay recovered. But even then, that wasn't the end of his nightmarish performance, because then he couldn't corral a pass from Kyler Murray, and that was picked off. You know, it was just like a really, really, really bad day at the office for the rookie.
Yeah, I think you've highlighted a few there as well. But I think on top of that list, you got to say, like, quite a few times, you know, tackled in the backfield and you know, unable to just make something happen from positions that he's usually, you know, quite electric from. And, you know, I think this is something that rookies all face, especially if they're having a good time. And that's like being able to have very short memory and just forget that this week happened, you know.
Yeah, move on to the next week and, you know, hopefully do a lot better next week, sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So here's hoping that he has the ability to do that and is going to have a chance to, you know, just make that work, I guess.
And amongst all this negativity, though, we do have the positive that Chase Edmonds finally got a touchdown to his name.
Yeah, that's true. Obviously, we've seen a lot of running touchdowns from James Conner mostly, but nice little wildcat play gets Chase Edmonds in the end zone.
Yeah, and obviously, like you say, James Conner, he's the one who's been snaring all those goal line touchdowns. And even though he only had the 5 rushes in this game, he scored a touchdown on 40% of each of those rushes.
It's pretty wild, actually, isn't it?
Which was also enough for him to win the British Bird Gang Breakdown Player of the Game. Naturally, there wasn't many candidates for this week. You know, we were kind of scraping the barrel.
Yeah, it was a bit more of a tricky one. But, you know, it's still, I think ultimately he's done enough to deserve a Player of the Game at some point this season. So,
it's just a shame he was only used 5 times. I mean, even though obviously the game plan dictated, you know, more of a passing game as opposed to running the ball a lot more.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think it's just a tricky one. You know, it's like I feel that the game plan just really didn't click. You know, maybe if we had seen the game plan click and we were able to get a few more of those big passes that just didn't seem to go anywhere this game, if we were able to get a few more of those off, then maybe we would have been seeing James Conner used a whole bunch of times, and maybe he would have scored again you know, 40% of them then, and we'd have been laughing.
I mean, again, it's one of those things, like we say all the time, like the turnover battle. In this one, the Cardinals were -3 in turnovers, and, you know, that's obviously going to be difficult to win a game from that point anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, I think not only being -3 on turnovers, but then also, you know, losing a bunch of 3 and outs. It was just uncharacteristic of what we've seen from this team this season.
Yeah, it was like you said, I think you said multiple times in like press conferences since, you know, you never really seemed to get in a rhythm in the passing game. Like they managed to in like little bits, you know, they were able to.
Yeah, yeah.
But like for the most part, it was just off sync, you know, nothing seemed to be going right for them.
Yeah, I think, you know, just like every time they seemed to be getting a little bit of a rhythm going, there was a bit of a penalty or some sort of delay in the game, you know, not necessarily delay a game penalty, but like a I don't know, commercial timeout or something like that. And it just seemed to sort of stymie them. Like, as you said, that you saw those little flashes where it's like, oh, okay, there's actually something happening here. But then, just nothing would come of it shortly afterwards. And I think, you know, it's a sad one. It's a really odd game to break down, I think, because I don't think that the Cardinals really had a chance of winning it, but I don't think they played completely horribly either. Like, there were still flashes of the good team there as well.
Yeah, it's one of those weird games, like I mentioned before. It's like, had Green Bay scored that last, like the touchdown that they've been denied on, and made it like a 10-point game with like 4 minutes to play, it'd been like, yeah, you know, fair enough, Green Bay were the better team, they deserve this victory. Not really much you could complain about with that. I mean, obviously, the Cardinals fan base will find something to complain about regardless, even if they win. But it's like,
as they always do.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. But yeah, like, we did have that chance to go down the field and win the game somehow, and yet he just didn't take it. It was like really frustrating. Like, we wouldn't have deserved the win, but we definitely would have celebrated the win, even though it'd been like a moral victory or something like that, wouldn't it?
You've got it written down here, I think, as a sucker punch. And I think that's probably the best way you can think of describing it, really.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there were two really right at the end of the game, wasn't there? Which was the bigger one, though?
I think, ultimately, for me, it's the pick. The pick is the real sucker punch, because it was a good pick, it was a good play, but equally, a lot of things had to go wrong for it to come to that point. And that's what, you know, killed the game, because otherwise you're in a perfect position where it's like score and win or kick a field goal. And it's like, basically just don't turn the ball over at that point. And that's the one thing that we did, you know?
Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, it's one of those plays you probably hit like thousands of times in practice, haven't you? You know, just like a basic curl to AJ Green in the end zone. But maybe it's like people were saying the target on it was DeAndre Hopkins, but like on the field, Kyler saw something he preferred more and he opted to go for AJ Green. It was just the fact that AJ Green didn't see the hand signal from Kyler. I think people have like probably tried to break it down maybe a bit too much, you know, read into things, but you know. It's one of those plays, you know, like, had AJ Green caught, turned around, he's catching that 99 times out of 100, isn't he?
Well, I think ultimately that's why it was picked off as well. You know, it's like, it's not as though it was a badly thrown ball that was then picked off. It was a really well thrown and placed ball that I think AJ Green would have been able to catch even if he was under significant duress, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the frustrating thing as well, yet another frustrating thing about that play is the fact that Christian Kirk, like, had it been like half a second later or something like that, he was wide open in the end zone as well.
Yeah.
So Kyler could have had two options for it.
I think, you know, ultimately it's also like that's where the tricky part comes in, where it's just like you see this thing in practice that comes off a lot, and then, yeah, just having him not turn around, that's so unexpected. It's so unexpected, and you think like, oh, well, this is basically a dead cert, and then it just doesn't happen. It's a very strange one.
And then just to compound the misery, we had Kyler Murray getting tackled and apparently now suffering a sprained ankle, which could be lingering for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think that's probably, well, as I said, I think that the bigger sucker punch was the interception, but obviously this is the one that has potential to go on and impact more games.
Yeah, because I mean, like, he did go down, I think it was after the play beforehand, you know, he was tackled a bit awkwardly, like the guy managed to grab his ankle. And then, like, after the interception was thrown, he was on the field for a little while. Like, obviously, that could have just been Kyler disappointed in the fact that he's thrown away what could have been an eighth victory of the season. You know, obviously, he'd be gutting himself in that point, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and I think that's something that part of the reason that it wasn't, you know, picked up, I guess, by the broadcast immediately was the fact that it's like it would be a very natural place to be if you just thrown that away, that you would just be on the turf like that. But diagnosed as a sprained ankle, but obviously the thing with sprained ankles is that they come in quite a variety of seriousness.
Yeah, it was obviously bad enough for him to actually limp off the field and then be spotted leaving the stadium in a walking boot. So,
well, I think as well, you know, like, if you're an NFL team and you've got your young star quarterback who's just led you, you know, to 7 victories in a row, then I think even if it's a minor one, you kind of just say like, hey, how about you leave in this walking boot and we, you know, check on it in the morning and see how well it is, how well you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, we're still at least another 24 hours before the Cardinals get back into practice after this sort of mini bye week they've had. So we're not able to provide any further update on him, but, you know, stay tuned to everyone else who'll be able to do even a better job than us at covering it.
I suppose that that's at least the big positive in that, you know, regard that with the fact that it's like such a long time before the next game, he's just got basically an extra 3-4 days or whatever to recover.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he's held out of practice this whole week, you know, I'm sure he'd still be able to play regardless on Sunday, you know, if you make him a game time decision.
Yeah. And I think as well, if you make him a game time decision, that might not be the worst idea strategically, you know, just kind of force the opposition to game plan for both eventualities.
Yeah, well, I mean, San Francisco is next up for the Cardinals, isn't it? So it's like, do they prepare for Kyler Murray or do they have to prepare for Colt McCoy in a potential revenge game?
Yeah, absolutely. It could go either way. My personal hope is obviously that Kyler Murray would be available to play, but I really hope that against, you know, San Francisco of all teams, that they don't decide to play him, you know, prematurely or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he is able to play, then of course you're going to play him, aren't you? But if not, you know, losing, going to 7-2, you know, losing against the Niners, you know, it might not be the worst thing if it means Kyler's. Obviously, if Kyler's not available now, but available in January, you know, people won't complain at all, will they?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the more important thing. You know, it's like, it's not necessarily, you know, like I would say if it's anywhere on the line, you set him, you know, and you let Colt McCoy go out there. And if Colt gets into a lot of trouble, then maybe you put Kyler out or whatever. But it's a loss you could take.
It's kind of like how the Dallas Cowboys are treating Dak Prescott at the moment because he's got a calf strain and they decided to go with their backup for Sunday Night Football and managed to pick up the win. Granted, it was against the Minnesota Vikings and, you know, beating them is not much of an achievement, is it?
It's true, but, you know, there's a lot you can do with that. And as I said, as long as he is then back for them later in the season and at full health, that's much better than having somebody who is half health for a bit of the season and then maybe even gets more injured.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm glad it's just not us making the decision because we'd just be like, you know, play Kyler all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think we've discussed that game enough for now, haven't we?
Yeah, I think it's... I mean, my final thoughts on it, as I think I've said multiple times, are it's a strange one. Definitely a game that ultimately we deserve to lose with the way that we were playing, but that we could have won with the team that we went in with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I fully get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just all about, you know, like making that click. And I hope that ultimately that loss has provided lessons for the team, you know, and because it's not like we've not had close calls through the season, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. Minnesota, you know, they missed that field goal, so we could have easily been 6-1 going into this game, but we weren't. We were 7-0.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there you go. Hopefully from that, the team can have some lessons and you know, continue to improve.
Well, yeah, exactly. And also, they don't have the added pressure now of being the last undefeated team hanging over them, do they?
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing is, like, I've not seen where the new power rankings have put us, probably like 16th or something like that. But at least it turns away some of the national media attention from it being, you know, like such a big, powerful electric offense and all of this stuff, and it kind of just makes it a little bit more chill there.
Well, spoiler alert, we are third in the NFL.com power rankings.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, we're third. I think it's behind Green Bay have taken over at number one. And number two is
Tampa Bay, presumably.
Tampa Bay or Buffalo. Then it's us. And then I think it's the Rams after us.
Okay.
So it's pretty much NFC dominated. You know, AFC's got no chance, really.
As usual. Shall we talk about some fantasy football? Or rather, shall you talk about some fantasy football? Because I moved house this week, so I feel like I should get off of the fantasy football bullying train for a while.
Well, I mean, I don't want to talk about the Bird Gang Bowl because, you know, it was yet another defeat in that one. So, you know, move on to the next thing on the item on the agenda, which is your fantasy losses.
Do you have even an outside chance for the Bird Gang Bowl anymore?
I don't think so, no. I'm more likely to get a toilet bowl than a Bird Gang Bowl.
I've got no chance in either of the leagues, but I'm also claiming amnesty this week because I moved house. I actually currently don't have access to the account, so I'll just leave my scores out. I've got the app as well, but it's I'm signed out of the app for some reason, and my password's not being accepted. So,
well, in brighter news on the British Bird Gang Dynasty League, I've won yet again, claiming a dominant performance with 200 plus points, nearly doubling my opponent's total.
Or didn't you get you won by over 100 points, right?
Well, the final score was 212.5 to 118.8. You know, I had big points from Matt Stafford, Chase Edmonds, Najee Harris. Basically, everyone in the starting offense scored double-digit points, except for the kicker. And then I had a couple of defensive players who scored double digits as well. So, you know, it's still not the highest score we've had. Yeah, I mean, it's not the highest score we've ever had in the league, but, you know, I think it might be the highest I've ever had, or at least definitely this season.
I think it might be the highest winning margin.
Yeah, possibly. Although I do remember I did have a really bad loss last year where it was like 90-odd points. So
it's up there.
Yeah, because I mean, like, the highest weekly total we ever had was 241, and that was in one week. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that now, actually. That was a massive week.
But yeah, I'm up to third now in the league at 5-3, so you know.
So you're just plow all your resources into that one now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did raise it up last week, you know, tempted to try and trade with you for Derrick Henry, but I'm kind of glad I didn't, no?
Yeah, I know, right? That's that must have scuppered a lot of fantasy seasons, that particular injury, but.
For the record, Callum is bottom on 1-7.
I am, yes. On his way to close ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think this past week you did hold Baking with Buddha 159.76 to 154.96.
Yeah.
So, you know, had Derrick Henry actually turned up, you might have won that one.
Yeah, exactly. But there you go. Should we move on to our weekly pick'ems?
Yes, we shall. And it was an okay week for the pick'ems with a 10-5 record for the week for myself.
Not bad.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah. And this week's selections promises at least to be another good good section of them, because there's a lot of, I would say, clear winners.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those ones where there seems to be quite a lot of one-sided games. But I suppose we are getting this deep into the season, aren't we? Week 9, you know. We know who's bad, we know who's good.
Yeah, you start to separate the wheat from the chaff a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, so the unanimous selections we've got this week are Indianapolis, Cleveland, Dallas, Miami, New Orleans, Las Vegas Raiders, Carolina Panthers, Buffalo Bills, the LA Chargers, the LA Rams and also the Pittsburgh Steelers, which leaves us just two differences this week.
Yeah, there was a lot I couldn't really pick against you there. I have picked a bit of a shocker against you here because I'm going to take Minnesota to beat Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you're coming from with that one.
My thought is that it's just I think Baltimore are one of those teams that they are a bit like the Cardinals insofar as they do really well against these big teams, and then they do come up against these silly losses against teams that they really should be beating. And I just felt that they were due for one.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable. And also, this is the Minnesota Vikings. You've just lost to Dallas. And obviously, they do need to start winning if they want to make the playoffs and, you know, make Patrick Peterson look like a genius for joining them instead of re-signing here.
But yeah, there you go. So I don't know. I think obviously Baltimore is going to be the odds-on favorite here. But they're just, you know, I have a feeling about this one. That it could just go another way in the battle of the purple teams.
Yeah. And the other difference we've got is Green Bay against Kansas City.
I'm taking Green Bay here based purely on records from last week where Green Bay came out looking good against the Cardinals, who are an excellent team, and Kansas City came out looking really not so hot against the Giants, who are not an excellent team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the heck is going on with Kansas City this year, but like 4-4, and he could only beat the Giants by 3 points. And yet here I am picking for them.
I think it's one of those things, like based on, you know, the last like 3 years, it still remains hard to pick against them. But ultimately, you know, they are really showing form with, I think, particularly Mahomes playing actively badly. You know, he's not just playing like a poor game here or there. It's like, no, that's bad QB play that he's given there.
Yeah, it's one of those weird ones as well, because like, I think the only reason I've gone against Green Bay in this one is the fact that they beat us on Thursday night. So it's like, you know, need them to lose more games for the playoff race, yeah, basically.
Yeah, he's just want them put in their place a little bit.
Yeah, just because we couldn't manage it, you know, hopefully Kansas City can do it.
Yeah, fair.
Patrick Mahomes can get revenge for us, for his old coach.
I guess just not much to talk about there because it's a week, as I said, with a lot of kind of one-sided games, a lot of games that you would be... it's a good week for an accumulator, put it that way.
Yeah, you never know. You might actually win one, or at least I might win one. Who knows?
And finally, for this week, I guess we might as well get on to our game preview. We've talked about it a bunch so far today, but the Arizona Cardinals are off on the road again to the San Francisco 49ers for the second game in the series this year. We're back on to Sunday. We're back on to 9:25 p.m. What are we thinking for this game?
Well, I mean, obviously the last time we played them wasn't that long ago, was it? Looking at the schedule, you know.
Yeah,
it was a few weeks ago we managed to beat them 17-10.
Yeah, definitely one of our lower scoring affairs of the season, but you know, you score what you need to, right?
Yeah, likewise, it was Trey Lance's first start there for them. And yeah, of course they've got back to Jimmy Garoppolo since last week,
although who knows how long that will last for.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, like they spent all those picks trading up to number three to get their guy, and then it's like, as soon as Garoppolo comes back in, it's like, yeah, you're back the starter again.
It's an odd choice, but I mean, I guess they're going more with the sort of the thought process, like, okay, we want to have the experienced guy in and allow Trey Lance the time to, you know, like learn it and you know, get going with things. But it's not as though the Niners are having an amazing season with when Garoppolo's been playing as well.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, looking at the NFC West table at the moment, they are third in it behind obviously both us and the Rams, and yet they're not as bad as the Seahawks.
It's true, yeah. And Seahawks obviously also having quarterback woes, but they're having all team woes. Meanwhile, I suppose the Niners have had some, you know, other high profile injuries and stuff to deal with, and I don't think they're getting many of their guys back from those.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's mainly in their defensive secondary. They're like back down to like probably like four, fifth string, you know, guys who've signed up off the streets sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they do have a couple of players on offense who could cause us issues, and that's obviously Elijah Mitchell at the running back, who's coming into this one after 137 yards and a touchdown on 18 carries against Chicago. And then, of course, there's Debo Samuel, 171 yards on 6 receptions, who's, you know, he's had a really good start to the season as Debo.
Yeah, he actually caused quite a lot of damage against us last time out, from what I remember as well.
Yeah, I mean, maybe last play it was.
Did he not catch the touchdown they had?
No, he only had 3 catches for 58 yards. But, I mean, that was with Trey Lance at quarterback, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so far this season, he's on 819 yards receiving on 44 receptions with 4 touchdowns. He's averaging 18.6 yards per catch. And has the longest of 83 yards, which he got against Chicago.
It's, it's a tricky thing to work out, isn't it? When we start getting down to looking at, you know, what's the predictions going to look like and everything, it kind of depends on who's available for San Francisco. And also the big question mark is Kyler Murray going to be played or sat?
Yeah, because I mean, obviously that will change a lot of things. Like looking at the the spread betting, last time I checked, it was -3 for the Cardinals, which is...
Yeah, so basically expecting it to be a close... I think that's probably the closest game that we've had.
Yeah, but it's one of those ones as well, because the Cardinals are the away team in this one, so it's like...
Oh, of course, yeah.
I'm going to go double-check now whilst I'm on here. Yes, it's -2.5 now for the Cardinals. So it's like, I'm sure that line will move if there's a bit more news on Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I think it will. It will move generally as we get closer, because there'll be, you know, news not just on Kyler, but on, you know, on everyone, I guess.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because there is a possibility that Rodney Hudson could be back in the lineup for this one, which would be a welcome return for the offensive line.
Yeah, definitely. And being able to kind of reshuffle a few people back around to their original positions there as well. But no, I think the problem with it is, or the issue with this game is that the Cardinals have been known to drop silly games to San Francisco before. We did it last year, even, remember? Do you remember their home game that they had in Glendale because of the fires last year?
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to know that. I mean, obviously, we don't want a repeat of that, do we? You know, the Cardinals dropping one against San Francisco.
Yeah, especially exactly. Like dropping one against a clearly worse San Francisco team, you know?
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think, you know, even with Colt McCoy, you would hope that the Cardinals would be able to put up some good points as well, right? Because he's still got all the same weapons that Kyler had, you know? And it's not as though Colt McCoy doesn't know what he's doing. The big difference, I guess, between the two of them would be, obviously, Colt McCoy's older. Maybe he can't throw as far, but more specifically, Colt McCoy is more of a pocket passer. He doesn't really run. So, you know, obviously there would be that to adjust for, but equally we've got two very good running backs and a plethora of wide receivers. So if you can just still establish that run game, hopefully you can still have, you know, just as much of a threat from that happening.
Well, yeah, exactly. Do you think it's one the Cardinals can still win regardless of who's under center for them? Likewise, yeah. You know, the Niners could just want to upset the party, you know. Try and obviously get to 4-4 for the season, which, you know, in the NFC West won't be good enough at all. But, you know, If they go to like 3-5, it's like, you know, is there much left for their season?
There's a big morale difference, I think, between being 4-4 and 3-5, right? And also, you know, like if you're the Niners, it would be the perfect time to come in and disrupt, you know, one of the other people that makes your league so, or your conference, your division so tricky to deal with, you know?
Well, I mean, next up for the Niners after this one is a game against the Rams on Monday Night Football. So it's like, you know.
Oh, that's a tricky stretch.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, after that, they do get the Jaguars, but, you know, if they're 3-6 going into that one, it's like, you know, not really much. Exactly. Their season's pretty much on life support, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it would require a lot of things to turn around at that point, but yeah, even so. Tricky one to predict the score of, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we have had a lot of high-scoring games in this season so far, but it's like, the one against the Niners was the lowest scoring one. So,
yeah.
It's like, are we going to continue that, you know? Will this be another one that's low scoring and we just manage to squeak out with the victory?
I think, you know, this is obviously going to be hugely dependent on everybody's injury status, you know, on Kyler's injury status, how well Hopkins is dealing with that hamstring, you know, all of that different stuff, and whether or not we have a complete offensive line again. All of this is going to be, you know, paramount to whether or not there's a whether or not there's some sort of difference in the scoring. And I think ultimately, to be safe, I'm going to stick the Cardinals on 21 points, and I'm going to give San Francisco 10 again, similar to like they had last time.
Okay, so I'm going along the similar sort of lines, you know. I don't think it'll be that big of a scoreline like you suggest. Like, that much of a difference between the two teams. But I've gone with
okay.
San Francisco 17, Arizona 23.
Okay. I could see that. I could definitely see that.
You know, just as long as it's not on Sky Sports. But, you know, I don't think it will be.
Surely they won't take this one on Sky Sports, you know.
No, not where Green Bay and Kansas City are on at the same time, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure also, I think they tend to go. Yeah, I think they tend to go for the 9:05 ones as opposed to the 9:25 ones. But, I mean, I'm sure that they would go for a 9:25 one if it happened to be a big matchup or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. You know, obviously that 9:25 one, which means like a little bit more red zone.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I guess ultimately, if we're back at the podcast next week with a win, I'll obviously be very happy with that. If we're back next week with a loss, I think it could happen. I think it could happen. Maybe I'm just being really negative after the loss against Green Bay, but this would be very classic Cardinals, right?
I mean, there is one more thing I need to add about the San Francisco game, and that is who is going to be on the commentary team for it.
Oh, who have we got? I've actually not seen this.
Yeah, I've only just found out myself. It's Mark Sanchez again, sadly.
Oh no. Right. If anybody in the British Bird Gang is listening to this in time, please tell me how you actually get the Dave Pash or Ron Wolfley or like any of the alternative audio on and synced up to the games in the UK, because I can't listen to another Mark Sanchez game.
But before you do that, make sure you go to follow us at British Bird Gang on Twitter. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/British Bird Gang and join the group at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. Buy British Bird Gang merch at britishbirdgang.tmail.com. And of course, if you like what you listen to on the podcast, then leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever it is you listen to the podcast. And of course, thanks for listening this week. And we'll see you again next week for another episode.
Yeah, see you after the San Francisco game.
Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.